What we did, last time is to look at a specific application over here and see how can we use a simulation to answer a business question in more detail. So over here you can see we identify the net profit equals the sales price minus the labor cost minus the part cost, and then multiply by the demand, and then minus the overhead, the administrative cost and the advertisement cost, okay? And then you can see, given those values over here, and here we can actually identify the profit. Now, the problem is those labor costs, the part costs and demand are changing. So they are changing in a certain way. And we specifically identified there are three different ways we're going to look at the changes. Okay? One will be the probability distribution. Okay? One will be using this probability distribution table to look at what kind of labor costs we may have. Where are those numbers from? Where are those probabilities from? From our data collection. You know, the county may accumulate last year how much we paid for labor costs, 43, 44, and then divide by, you know, the proportion of them paid in $43 is 10%, $44, 20%, and so on. Okay? And then we look at our power cost. It's uniform distribution. Again, where it is, where it come from. It's from experience. You collect your data, you plot your data, and look at, you know, how much we paid for the materials and parts. It's more like this rectangle. It's a uniform distribution. Okay? Pretty much between $80 and $100. Anywhere, it's pretty uniformly distributed. So, and then we look at our demand. It's more uniform, normal distributed. The mean is 15,000. And standard deviation 4,500. Okay, from our perspective, when we study, those things would be given. But when you perform a real simulation, those again, it depends on the situation, and you may have to study them and get the distribution. Okay, now let's look at the what we did so far and see whether or not you have any question, and then we move on. Okay. So what we did was we use a VLOOKUP command. Okay, to identify the cost of the labor. For example, we got a random number 0.345, and we see between 0.3 and 0.7, and you know, we're going to get $45. Okay. So that's given by an Excel command. Let me see. I have this command somewhere here. Okay, yeah. So I can see given by this Excel command over here, VLOOKUP, the random number go first, and then you have the block of Excel from K27 to M31. Okay? So in that table, we just went through. And then the third column refers to the labor cost. Okay? You know, if this random number equals 0.345, and then that's within 0.3, 0.7, the third column over there gives you $45. So that's the function of this. You do need to know how to use this. Okay? And then we look at the uniform distribution. We can use that equation, the smallest number 80 plus a random number multiplied by 100 minus 80, give you uniform random variables value, okay? In Excel, we can easily accommodate those. And then we look at a normal distribution, and in this case, equals the 15,000 plus a Z value, okay? This one is a Z value, given a random number 0.0836. Okay, the 0.0836, if you I just kind of borrow this place, okay, equal norm SIMD, and then what's the value point? What is that value? Let me go back again. Okay. I try to identify what is the value 0.0836 of Z value. Okay, 0.0836. Okay, so you can see what I did was I typed in norm S I N D 0.0836. Okay, so I press enter. I'm going to get a negative 1.3812. Okay, so that's the value you're going to see. That's the value you're going to see over here. So if you use 15,000 plus that negative 1.36 multiplied by 4,500, and then you put them together, you're going to get 8784. Okay? So again, that Z value automatically selects either positive value or negative value, depends on your random number inside. If this random number is greater than 0.5, you get a positive value of Z. If this value, random number, is smaller than 0.5, you get a negative Z value. Why? Because the normal curve, you know, the center of the normal curve is 0. So 50% you have a negative Z value, 50% you get a positive Z value. Go ahead.
I should have a question with the random number. Do you just go to a random box and type that in, or is there like a certain way to do that?
The random number over here is given by anywhere you see random number, there are two ways, okay? One is you look at a table. Many textbooks provide a table with random numbers, okay? You know, you essentially you close your eyes and then, pong, get on the table and then see, oh, what is the value of it? Random, you know, you do not know where you're going to go. Another one is using Excel, you equal rand, open close parentheses. So this equation will give you a random number. Nobody knows what's the value, okay? So you can see I give you a 0.3275. For our situation as a student, when we work on assignment, work on a test and a project and so on, in order for me to verify whether or not you get the logic correct, many times I actually give you a random number. So use that number and then, you know, do something else. Follow the assignment. Okay? Answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then let's look at and once we have those, we will be able to run the simulation. You can see that's our simulation runs each trial. Okay? Manually. You need to understand this process. Be able to set them up like this. Be able to two things. Number one, be able to manually go through those simulation runs each time because you're going to show those on the test. And then the second one, or on assignments or homeworks, you're going to do those. The second one will be able to set up the Excel, using Excel, and then implement those equations, let Excel automatically do this for you, say 2,000 times, 5,000 times, you know, based on your requirements. So in that situation, you can never do this again, you know, because manually that's out of question. So now, what we are interested in? We are interested in those. We are interested in looking at the mean profit, standard deviation, because the standard deviation is going to be part of the confidence interval. Remember that? Once we have the mean profit, we compute the margin of error, we can get confidence intervals, okay? And also we look at whether or not we have any risk to lose money. In this case, we run three trials, two cases, we actually lost money. That means, you know, 67% of chance we actually lose money. We want to estimate if we run 5,000 times and what's the chance we actually lose money, because that gives the manager indication of risk, okay? The equation to compute each of those are given over here. You need to test out each of them. Again, you know, on our test, you know, there are 10 or 15% of the content is going to be Excel-related. You know, the process, do a simulation, a logic implemented in Excel, you know, all these kind of things. So you have to try it out. what I found when I graded the assignments, you know, few people actually try out those equal Poisson, isoplanar, you know, whatever. A lot of you just based on your understanding and then try to write out those commands. That's not a good idea. So you need to punch that as what I did, you know, a second ago. You need to actually open Excel, punch those commands in, get that result, confirm your understanding. Okay, it's very important for you. Okay, now, what I want to show you over here is to see the actual simulation for this. Okay, see, you can see the simulation for this example we just got, and I rearranged it a little bit so I can have more multiple rows over here. Okay. So you can see I put the constants over here, this area, and those are the constants, and those are the variables. And then once we have those parameters, and then we can set up the simulation. These 43 labor costs is given by VLOOKAP, random number, and they give the range A10 to C14, A10, C14, and then we're looking for the third column. That's the cost. If you look at if you use one or two, they actually give you those values. So three refers to the third column, okay? VLOOKAP is very useful. If you are, you know, in a human resource in a company and you want to identify in a spreadsheet, you have 5,000, you know, customers' name there. You want to find a specific, you know, customer with their name, whatever. You specify the condition, you specify where they are, and then you're looking for this. The first one is the identifier. You want to look at this identifier, okay? You know, their name, whatever. They spend the largest amount of money to buy a product, and then you put them over there, and then you can specify seventh. The seventh column is their name. Each column is their, you know, address. You can specify over here, and this command is going to give you that. So it's very powerful. Okay, so you need to be able to do that. Part cost given by uniform distribution. E8. Okay, that's a lower limit. Plus random number times E9 minus E8. 9 minus 8. Be careful, you know, we use the dollar signs over here, because you have to fix that error. When you copy down the equations, those equations won't change. They always like this. It doesn't matter which row you're going to do. If you do not have the dollar signs, they're going to change. So if you have dollar signs, they're always looking for this area. Okay? If you have dollar signs over here, they're always looking for these two values. Okay? So that's why you can see when I grade your first test, I was very particular, you know, for the dollar signs, because that's a correct or wrong situation, okay? And then the third one refers to the demand is normal distributed. Okay? I use a different command over here, use a norm A and B directly. There's no S in the middle. No S in the middle, okay? The one I used before, I actually used a different one, you know, equals norm S, A, and B. You know, if I use this, see, okay, I just kind of give you one example, okay? Okay, now, so you can see, or I can use, So you can see the equation, the equation is norm S and V. You have one value there inside. That value is a probability. Okay, so 95% probability corresponding Z value, given the normal curve. Okay, 95% refers to here the center. Normal 95 is somewhere here. So this portion, 95%, this value on the horizontal axis, that That's 1.96. Okay. Now, when we use norm without S in the middle, we can compute we can compute this value directly. See this equation. Okay. 15,000 plus Z times 4,500. That whole equation can be implemented by using this equation directly. Okay? So you can see, save you a step to type in plus and multiplication. Just use the mean, standard deviation, the random number, and that will give you the answer. Okay? So you can see that's the way the equation is this third column. Okay? And then the last column over here is given by the sales price minus, again, the cost of labor and the parts times the demand. That's D21, okay? And then minus C4 and C5, again, within the dollar sign, C4, C5, within dollar sign. So they copy them down, and they're going to get the results. Okay? So once you finish it, you probably run this for, in our situation, I run 600 trials, okay? But out of the 600, the first 100 is disregard. So we discard the first 100, grab the last 500. Why? Because in simulation, the results, the first couple of hundred results are not reliable. So there are theoretical aspect of it. It's beyond what we need. But again, when you run simulation, disregard the first couple hundred or thousands, and then start to accumulate and analyze the results, okay? So that's the, what we're gonna do is we are interested in the net profit, what is most, the minimum, maximum, the mean, and the standard deviation confidence interval. And if you want to analyze the other columns, the process will be the same, okay? And there are two things we want to do, okay? There are two things. So let's see. There are two things we want to do for it. Let's see whether or not it's okay. Let's look at the... let's look at what we have to do in terms of analysis, okay? Here is one analysis we're looking for. Look at the summary statistics. Those results are given by Excel directly, okay? So if I go into Excel, okay, and I click on data on top, and then click on data analysis, okay, and then select descriptive statistics. Click OK. And then they're looking for input range to specify where the values of the variables we're looking for. We are interested in the net profit. As I said, we started with row 21. Okay? Let me move this a little bit so you can see. Okay? We started with row 21. That's the first file. But we finished by 620. We want to grab the mid, the last 500 pieces. So I just go ahead and type in E21 to E621 to E620. So essentially, we grab the last 500 rows. Okay. Once we do that, we want to have the summary statistics. We want the confidence interval. That's all we want. Okay. And we want this to be, let me just use Procon 1, okay? So let's see what happened. Press Enter. And then what we got here is this. It's not finished yet, okay? You can see it's blinking. When it finishes, it's going to come back, okay? So just give it a second. So it's finished now. So you can see the results, you know, automatically give you all those results. Okay? So you can see the mean is $685,000 on the average. Standard error, $254,008. Look at standard error and this 95% confidence interval. Okay? You can see this value is almost twice as many as this one. Is that correct? Look at the number. Is that correct? Standard error is twice, is half of this confidence interval. Is that correct? Then this value, even though they call the confidence interval, is actually margin of error of the confidence interval. It is this value multiplied by a t value. Okay, so we normally use 2 to approximate that t value. Okay, so it's approximation. So if you use 2 times this, you're going to get this margin of error. Okay, and standard deviation, this value, you know, divided by square root of n, going to give you this value. Okay, so standard deviation divided by square root of 500, going to give you this standard error. So that's the kind of things we got. Okay. Now, we can also get those values by using Excel equations. So if you use Excel equations, you can see those equations. Each of those actually given by using those equations. Okay, so you can see E121, E620, and the standard deviation, the minimum, maximum, counter if. This count if command is very useful. Okay? In the sense, automatically count any of the net profit which is negative, because that's where we lose money. Okay? So if you use count if, provide the range where those values are, from 121 in the column E to 620 in column E. Okay? So that's where you specify where they are. Common, and then double quotes. Put the condition in the double quotes. In our situation, less than zero. So that's this column. Okay. So that will grab, in our situation, out of 500 trials, 45 of them actually negative. So there are 45 out of 500, about close to 10% chance, is 9% chance, you know, they're going to lose money. So that information is important. Okay. And then we can use the equation, you know, this equation, standard error divided by standard deviation divided by square root of sample size to get the standard error, get the margin of error, t value. See that t value? Exact t value is given by this equation, okay? And you need to be able to punch that in, test them out, okay? And multiply by H9, so that's H9 is this value, standard error, so give you this margin of error. So you can see those values are very much the same as the one we obtained by using discrete statistics, and we can compute the low and upper limits. Again, those two are the actual limits. They are not the margin of error. This one is the margin of error, okay? Question. The next one we're going to do is to look at how can we construct a bar chart. So if you remember in 191, we actually did the bar chart, and we're going to use them, okay? What we did over here is we specify the range, identify, you know, in our case, specify the minimum and the maximum, and then look at what's the best intervals such that all the numbers are going to be covered meaningfully within 10 groups. In histogram, now you do not want to have more than 10 groups. You know, anywhere from 5 to 10, those are appropriate. So when you have more than that, it's hard to analyze. Okay, so we use the 10 of them or a little bit more. So that would be appropriate. And you can easily highlight. There are two ways to do it. But essentially, you use the insert, and then the bar chart. Click on this, and they're looking for where you're going to highlight the data. You highlight this whole column. They're looking for bin range. You highlight those are the bin range. So once you provide those two pieces of information, and then they can give you the bar chart and the values. Okay. So I leave that to you to to do it. Okay. So any question about this example? So that's the one. What we are interested. If you look at the kind of situation we look at the mean profit. We also look at the confidence interval. How to interpret confidence intervals? When we have a confidence interval, as what we develop, okay? For example, in this case, we have confidence intervals. We are 95% sure the net profit in this case is going to be from $643,000 to $732,000 in between those. So that's we are 95% sure. So you need to remember those languages, okay? So be able to talk about those when the question is asked, okay? And let's look at if you forget how to use Excel to create a chart, you know, bar chart. This is the screen for that, okay? And for the descriptive statistics, that's the screen for that, okay? So you should be able to follow that and then get that done, okay? Again, you cannot be lazy, so I don't know what to say. And that's the one I just covered. Okay, that's the one I just covered, and that's exactly the one I just covered, okay? So any question, any of you, so you can see that's exactly what we have, okay? That is a little bit because the DC simulation run is different. And you can see what I did over here. I copied the top portion of my layout with a few rows, and then the bottom few rows. When you have in your assignments, I don't care the middle portion. I only need where you set them up, where the bottom, so I can see how you're doing, whether or not they are correctly done. And then you need to use formulas, show formula to print also the formulas. Okay, I want this page, and I want this one should be on one page. I want another page exactly like this, but all the equations. Okay, so you probably remember the way to print the equations. You know, let me just quickly do that one more time. So if you highlight a portion of your worksheet, okay, and then you specify, you print out over here, okay? Be sure you have, when you specify those, be sure you have this print and be sure you have the gray line and headings clicked, okay? You need to select those two items. And then also you need to be sure, you need to click on the formula, show formula, okay? Where's my show formula? Show formula, okay, this one, okay? So you click on this. Because I reduced my screen, so the wording is scrambled. Otherwise, you should be able to see the words. Show formulas, okay? You can see now, I have all the formula. I want you to print the top portion of your worksheet, so I can see whether or not your equation correctly, whether or not you apply dollar signs where this is supposed to be, whether or not those random numbers generated in the place they're supposed to be, and then the bottom few two or three rows, and also the statistics, okay? Right now you can see it's split into two pages. So what you can do is you can use print a review, okay? You print a review, and then you can set up the page, you know. In this case, you can see I got multiple three pages, you know. So what I can do is I can say, come over here, and then I can specify. I need to select page setup, okay? And then I select landscape. So when I select landscape, you can see, it flipped horizontally now, but I still have two pages, okay? In case I want them on one page, see here is what we're going to do. You click page again, you say fit to one page. Okay? So that will get all the two pages together on one page. So you need to be sure it's not too small, okay? So do not highlight too much stuff. You may need to see a lot of empty portion of the column. You may kind of want to squeeze them a little bit. Just be sure, you know, you do not have them occupy the space. So your kind of character is a little bit large, so we can actually see, read it, okay? So that's the, let me see, I want to kind of reduce this, right? Yeah. Question. That's pretty much give you the whole process. I want to jump into the second example here, okay? So let me see how far I can go here. So the output, the actual output is like this. You can see the bar chart is like this. If you follow that instruction, you're going to get a bar chart like this. The gap, you can adjust the gap, you know, whatever you want, and make them look nicer. Okay. Now, what are we actually doing in simulation? Here's what we're doing. We're given an objective. We know what we are asking. Okay? And then we identify constants. Those are parameters. In our case, sales price and so on. And then we look at the where we're going to put the result in. So we're going to specify from row 21 to row 620. You've got a separate different rows, identify different things, but the net profit is going to be in those areas, okay? And we are going to disregard, you know, the first 100 rows and use the last 500 in our analysis. And then we're going to compute the cumulative probability distribution for the labor cost. And then set this up. The next one is we set up the trial numbers from 1 to 600, okay? So that's what we're going to do. Now we need to generate the first row, you know, the first equation is the first row. We've got three or four equations, generate each of them based on the way the question is given, okay? So those are going to be clearly given, even though the questions you will come in your assignments, homework, you know, and the quiz and, you know, tests are going to be different, but they are going to be given, okay? And then you compute the net profit based on the equation provided, and then verify the results. Now, here is the key thing. How can you verify a result when you have random number inside? There's no way you can verify that. Okay, so I would advise you, when you work on the assignments, you need to set them up into a random number. You give any random number, replace this rand over here, and then, you know, generate the answers, and then compute that by manually, use the equation we did, okay? And then you can verify whether or not you applied those equations correctly. The normal distribution, for example, you can actually test them out. Use the one we just did, okay? So uniform distribution, use your calculator, actually punch them out and verify the results. Do that for three rows, okay? If they all correct, and then you replace those numbers with rand equations, okay, with this function. And then do that again. You know, cut it down to 600 rows. So that will be the way you do it, okay? And verification, very important, copy the equation to the rest of the simulation. And once you do that, you can have two ways to get the statistics. One is use the descriptive statistics, and then, you know, the second one is specify the histogram. You identify the histogram, and then that gives you a kind of way to look at, you know, some of the performance measures, okay? Validate results, real business operations. You need to talk to your, you know, marketing people, operations people, your boss. They are in business for years and know whether or not your results close to what they get, reasonable or not. And once you do that, everything is okay. You may need to adjust the, you know, your parameters a little bit. Once everything's done, you're ready to come up with an executive summary, recommendations, you know, all these kind of things. That's going to be this part. Very, very important, okay? So as a business student, especially in 291, our objective is not the tedious process. Our emphasis is over here. Once you have the results, how can we interpret that? How can we use that to guide our business? Go ahead.
So with like the results that we got, what do you mean? Like how would we make a recommendation like out of those results? Like what kind of stuff would we say?
For example, you know, the net profit in this case around $650,000, and we are 95% sure that's going to be from the low limit to the upper limit. And also we look at the possibility of losing money. In this example, we saw it's 9% chance we're going to lose money. That percentage, you need to specify what is the confidence interval for the percentage of the chance we're going to lose money. So so the management prepared to take that risk. That's our the major part of it. Yes. And also, we're looking for for example, profit. Once we have the results, the histogram, we can actually analyze what is the possibility our profit of more than, say, $12 million, $1.2 million, that kind of thing. So just give a whatever the analysis we can get. Okay? The confidence interval can be computed by using this process. That's what I mean. The confidence interval for proportion, you know, what's the percentage of chances we're going to lose money, that's in proportion. That's probability. We can use this equation to compute the confidence intervals. Again, those are from your 191. You need to go back those, and you need to be able to do that again, okay? How to interpret those confidence intervals? Those are the ways you interpret those. So go back over here. You do need to review those part of the requirement, okay? What is the probability you get, you know, the net profit more than 1.5 million? So those are the way you answer the question. Again, you need to go back to those places and review for those, okay? Again, anywhere we touch some of things, it's not hard, but, you know, again, there are something new, okay? Now what we're going to do is to look at a different example, okay? In this example, that's the butter example. It's an inventory situation. We have a situation, we have a warehouse, they store the products, we sell them, you know, on a daily basis, but we do not know what's the inventory level going to be the best level because, you know, someday we're going to have a lot of people place orders and someday we do not. So what's the situation? If we sell more than what we have a shortage cost because, you know, when we have shortage, our, you know, customers go to our competitors. We lose money. Okay? In this situation, we set $30 as each unit, you know, we miss. And then if we have a lot there, by the end of the day, if we have a lot there, or end of the week or month, we lose money again. Why? Because we have an inventory storage cost. Okay? You pay security, you pay, you know, maintenance, you pay all these kind of things. So in this case, $15 for each unit. Okay? So we have two situations. When we look at the case, one is we look at demand less than equals the inventory level. We use Q refers to the inventory level we're going to test. Okay, the objective of this simulation is to identify the best inventory level. It says 100 is the best, 90 is the best, 120 is the best. We want to see which one is the best. Okay. So the second case is the demand is greater than the inventory level. So in this one, in the case one, when demand less than equals the inventory level, we pay the inventory holding cost. Am I right? Because we definitely going to have pieces left over because our demand is less than the inventory level. In the second case, however, we pay the shortage cost. Because our demand is greater than our inventory level. There are two cases. Okay? Let's look at how those each cases play out over here. Okay? So the D units that's going to be sold. That's our demand. Okay? Q refers to our inventory level minus that D because the D is smaller. So this value is going to be positive. Those many units are going to be left over. You've got a Q 100, for example. Demand or number of units sold in this period, 98. We've got two pieces left. Okay? So that's what I mean. 15 times that difference. Each piece, we pay $15 each period as inventory holding cost. If we have Q 100, D equals 98, you know, the difference is going to be 2 multiplied by $15, that's $30 we pay as inventory holding cost. Again, you know, security, absolutely, and a lot of things, steps, you know, maintenance, all this rental, you know, all this belong to holding cost. Okay? And then we compute the gross profit. You can see a sales price minus the unit cost multiplied by demand, give you 120 minus 95, okay? Multiplied by demand equals to 50 times D. $50 times D, that's the demand, okay? That's the gross profit. Holding cost equals 15 times the difference of Q minus D. From our analysis. Again, business logic, you need to get them correct exactly, okay? So kind of ask yourself, use your common sense and the business experience, anything good help, okay? And then you look at the net profit equals gross profit minus the holding cost, give you 50D minus 15 times Q minus D. Okay, so you got this part done. Case number two, Q units sold. Why? Because we only have Q units in our warehouse. Demand is greater than Q, we can only sell Q. That's it. In that situation, D is large. D minus Q is positive. That's the number of units shorted. And then gross profit, sales price minus units sold, multiplied by Q. You see? Initially it's D, but it's Q right now. It's an inventory level because that's the only thing we have. Okay? And it equals 50 times Q. That's the gross profit. And then the shortage cost is going to be $30 times D minus Q. Again, D refers to the demand. Demand greater than the Q. I strongly recommend each of you try them out after class, okay? Otherwise, you're going to forget. And it's going to take much longer, you know. The best way is to go through those two examples. Go through those two examples piece by piece, and then be sure you can do the two examples, and then you work on the assignments. Do not do assignments until you go through the examples, okay? Otherwise, you fool yourself, you know. And then the gross profit equals the net profit is the difference of gross profit and the shortage cost, okay? So given by that equation. Now we're going to set them up. Okay? So again, you know, different people may set them up in different way, and here is one way to set them up. So you may prefer put them in different places, and that's the way I did it. You can see the mean, you know, standard deviation, unit cost, selling cost, sales price, and then the demand for a certain distribution. This number, inventory level, that's the number we're going to set each time, each simulation. This simulation requires you to run multiple times because you're going to set 100, 110, 120, 130, 140, 10 different times, whatever, and then hopefully you can see a curve. You know, when the inventory level is that number, the total cost is going to be, or total profit is going to be maximized, okay? So you're familiar with this, let's identify the demand. And then, you know, if the demand follows this distribution, we can use the lookup. If the demand is uniform, yeah, that's the command used to look at this table. If it is a uniform distribution, we can use this equation, right? If it is a normal distribution, we can use the normal distribution equation. So I give you three different scenarios for the demand. Again, try to get, let you review the process. And you can see, again, these two commands, norm S and V, and norm I and V, see the difference between those two. You may need to test out both of them. So again, you know, this chart actually shows the difference between those two. Norm S and V give you this value. This is V value. Norm without S in the middle, okay, give you this value. This value. That's X, that's Z. Norm S and V give you Z value. Norm without S in the middle give you X value. Okay? Just be sure you make a difference between those two. Okay? And once we set them up our dimensions, be sure when you set up the first row, do not use random numbers. Set a random number, you know what's the value of it, call them in the equation, test them out. Three rows. When you verify three rows, everything's correct, you better set them up in a way, you know, some of them, you know, the inventory level greater than demand, some of them, you know, inventory level less than demand, and then you can verify whether or not you incur a holding cost or shorting cost. When you set them up all correctly, identify net profit, everything, so you can actually go through those because you have the random number there. When you see everything's correct, you can cut them down into 600 rows in this case, you know, get results, okay? So let me actually show you what we got here. See, that's the bottom case. So that's the exercise, you know, I just show you on my, that's the one I use to create this lecture note, okay? And you can see the process given those situation, and then we look at there are two cases over here, there are two cases. Then we set up the equation accordingly, okay? So those are the equations we need to use in our simulation, okay? So you can see, look at this situation, demand. We use a norm, range, and then give you the mean and the standard deviation. I put a round in front of it. That round, you know, actually round by number to the first integer. Round up, round off, depends on the situation, and that's the function of it, you know. And then unit sold, I use an if command, so that's this piece, unit sold, that's this command, okay? And then you look at the next one, unit left over. What time we have left over? That's the situation we check. You can use the if then command like this, or you can use minimum and maximum, MIM and MAX. You know, if you use them correctly, can accomplish these goals. So depends on your logic, okay? Inventory cost, multiply the leftover, multiply by the $15. And then the shortage, number of shortage, that's given by this equation. Again, you know, MIN or MAX can also do the trick. So depends on the way you formulate those. And then you compute the shortage cost. Because we got, you know, $3 each piece. So if you have number of pieces over here, we can figure this out, okay? And then the net profit. So once you have that, you can easily implement, you know, computer net profit by using the equation we developed. So you finish this, you do that for several hundred rows. For only for the lecture purposes, so I only show you a few. So And then what you can do is you may want to kind of cut them down into many pieces, many rows, once you verify each of those numbers are correct. Okay. So that's the identical situation. And in this case, if I press, see what happened is I cannot press F9. You know what happened. The recording software actually used that F9 as a toggle key to pause the recording. So if I press F9, my simulation goes to run one more time. Each time you press F9, go to run that one more time. And I just found out, there is a software, free software on the website. I post on the Blackboard already. It's called Monte Carlo simulation. Some of you might have heard the name. So it's a very nice piece, very easy to use. So you click on that, it's going to show up like this. Those are instructions how to use it. Okay. So when you open it, be sure to deal with that option. You see, macro have been disabled. You have to enable it. So click on this. Okay. And then enable the content. Be sure to make this selection and then click OK. Okay. And once you do that, and then what you're going to do is, you look at the instructions. What it said is there are three different ways you can run this piece of software, okay? You specify number of times you want to run, okay? And you can specify whether or not the computer will automatically update you for each run, or you only want to see the final results. You can do that, okay? If you put a negative in front of it, it will not let you see the intermediate results. Will kind of give you the last result, so a little bit quicker. If you bold the numbers, they will come back with a histogram. Okay, so that's the feature is you may use. Now those areas are the equations you're going to simulate. In our situation, we want to see the average net profit out of that 500 rolls. Okay, so let's see whether or not I can actually make this to work. So. So what we're going to do is, I can, come over here. So I can say I want to run 10 times, because it takes too long, So I can say I want this to be equals, let me see the type over here, okay? I want this equals to the net profit, okay? So the net profit equation, let's look at this equation here. So you know what we're doing. We actually average G17 to G316. This simulation I only run 300 times. So it's from 17 to 316, okay? 300 times. So I can actually specify only grab, I only need, what I want to do is look at the range. I cover from G117 to G316. I only simulate, collect statistics, analyze the last 100 rows. Okay? That's what I'm doing. You can see that, okay? And I also want to compute the average service level. I want to compute this as well. Okay? So what I gotta do is I come back here again. Equal, I just set them equal to whatever the values I'm interested, okay? Those two values. That's all I'm interested at this point, okay? So I specify this. I have to copy probably 6 or 7 rows down there, okay? And then what I can do is press Control and W. Again, if my recording, if this piece of software does not let me do it, and you see the process, okay? So I press Control W, it's going to do it. See? It's working. You see that working? Everybody, see that working? Automatically simulated 10 times, each time got 100 of them. Okay? So it's the simulation we covered so far, without this Monte Carlo, okay? Without this, it's a student exercise, classroom exercise. Okay? Once you pair with this Monte Carlo, it's a real business thing. You can actually perform a real business simulation by using this. Very nice, so very easy to use, okay? Now you can see the average net profit about, you know, 44, 35. How many simulation runs we actually got out of this 44, 35? 1,000 runs, am I right? I collect 100 each, I do 10 times of them, you know, so I got 1,000 of them. If you need 10,000, specify this as 100, you know, get a cup of coffee and drink it and then come back, the result's going to be there, you know. And then you see the service level, 96%, okay, so very nice, okay. So, okay, now, again, the so that gave us the whole simulation. Let me see, can I kind of find my cursor? I can see my cursor now. Okay, now, let me see, have anything else. You can see this, let's look at this chart here, okay? So, I let you leave early, okay? But I do need a few more minutes. Look at this chart. We look at the inventory level, different cases. You have to change the inventory level over here manually. That's the tedious part of simulation, okay? Change this number from 100, 110, 120, 130. When you change it each time, run the simulation. Run Monte Carlo, okay? So Monte Carlo for each inventory level. 100, Monte Carlo. 120, Monte Carlo. 130, Monte Carlo. You know, do those multiple times after you finish each, for each Monte Carlo, okay? Drag those results, copy those results into those areas. Fill a table like this, okay? And then draw a chart like this. You can see the inventory levels going to affect the net profit. In this case, you can see, you know, the net profit up here, this point, 120, about 115, 120, okay? The net profit reached the highest. You can recommend to your manager, that might be the level we're looking for, okay? So so that's this simulation. And again, you know, let me summarize what we have, okay? Simulation is a way to incorporate real business variations, the randomness, the risk in business analysis. Very powerful tool with very few assumptions. So anything you can simulate, okay? Our emphasis on the analysis provides meaningful interpretations of the results to business, okay? The difficulties in simulation. Number one, understand the business logic correctly. Number two, implement those business logic in Excel. The most difficult part is going to be generate those random values correctly. Use those if-then, you know, commands, you know, generate the logic correctly and double-check your answers and so on, okay? And again, so I think that's pretty much what I'm going to cover, okay? That's all for today.